Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
This one's a little bit more of a bummer than that.
I'm feeling like I'm sunshine.
Yeah, I always found this song ironic because it's the most least sunshiny song I've ever heard. All right, 305, talking music here. And I guess Patrick in Brooklyn's going to tell me the name of the Bulls song. I mean, I don't know if it matters. I want to get to it. I just played for you the intro to Hard Knocks, and they're trying to compare Caleb Williams to Michael Jordan and the 90s era Bulls and that intro song. You know, do they still do it in Chicago? I don't even know or care or have thought about it.
I think they do. I think they still do, right?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm sure I've seen many a Nick Bull game over the years. I don't remember it. I associate it completely with those 90s era Bulls. But Patrick in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Pat?
T-Mac, what's up, my man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well. I apologize. The gentleman that screened my call, I didn't get his name. I'm so sorry. And I
That's all right.
To your show. He said he was going to double check for me, and I never knew it, but it's the Alan Parsons Project, Eye in the Sky. You would never think that song had that intro.
Rami, who you've now disrespected, and he's forced to correct you. Apparently it's not that.
I mean, I just listened to that full song, and I didn't hear it anywhere in that.
You didn't hear what in there?
Meaning I just...
Wait, hold on, Pat. He's saying the name of the song is Eye in the Sky by the Alan... what was the name of the band again? I know it, too.
Alan Parsons Project.
Alan Parsons Project. He's not saying it's sung in there or that that's what it's saying. That's the name of the song.
Okay.
I believe...
It's Go the ahead. Alan Parsons Project,
yes.
But it's not Eye in the Sky. Let me see. I think it might be Sirius by the Alan Parsons Project.
Okay. We'll double check that. But it is the Alan Parsons Project. But is that meaningful in any way, or you just wanted to let me know?
No. It's just one of those. You know the song I'm talking about? Yeah. Maybe that's not the title, but it's the Eye in the Sky, maker of... I'm not about to sing for you, but
no.
maybe I don't know.
I don't know many, and apparently it's not. The intro to the Bulls song is called Sirius, but it is Alan Parsons Project. You're correct on the band.
All right, well, that's 50%, I guess.
Yeah, hey, listen. People have done worse.
C-Mac, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you got
brother.
It. Thank you so much, Patrick. Thank you for eliminating that confusion. You really, everyone was singing at home going, I wonder what the name of that song is. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. Needed to know. But yes, it's the Alan Parsons Project.
Yeah, I listened to the whole song during the break, and I was scrolling through. I'm like, I can't find that beat
right.
in this song at all.
Right, okay. Yeah, because you confused me because you said, I've been listening. I can't hear it. I was like, what do you mean? You can't hear Eye in the Sky? It might not be in the song. I wasn't sure what you meant. He told you Eye in the Sky. You Googled it and have been listening, and that wasn't it, obviously.
Correct. Yes. And then when I type in Bulls intro song,
sure.
The Alan Parsons Project, Sirius, comes up.
Right. Sirius. They were Sirius.
Spelled differently?
Like Sirius Radio?
Yeah.
Really? Maybe, is that a star? Probably it is, right? It's a star, isn't it?
Is it? I have no idea.
I think it is. I think it's a star. Or at
that
least,
makes sense,
or a,
satellite radio.
Yeah, exactly. It's a star or a formation of stars or something or other. I don't know. Maybe it's a dwarfed planet. I don't know. It's a brown dwarf, right? Isn't that what they call dead planets? I have to call up, see if Kyrie's available for an interview, see if I can get an answer to these questions. But
the brightest star in the night sky is called Sirius.
It's called Sirius. Okay. There you go. Wonderful. Anybody else have any, we could talk about Polaris, the North Star. Do you know you could tell what longitudinal line you're on by the angle of the North Star? How about that? I probably got that wrong. Probably not longitudinal. It's probably the other one. We're losing at 309. Now let's talk a little Giants as they get ready to play. We've talked about the Yankees. We've talked about the Mets. You're still willing. You're still free to call me at 888-808-1019 on Yankees or Mets. You can also hit me up on Twitter at CMACWFAN. Looking forward to this Giant game. And I guess the question is, after, well, first of all, can they keep their hands off each other after being fined $200,000, really trying to make a statement from the NFL to make sure teams don't allow it? And I agree. Look, I think fights are a part of this. It happens at almost every single scrimmage between two teams. It happens at every single practice without multiple teams. I mean, fights are part of camp. It's just what happens. It's hot. It's these long practices. It's guys trying to make teams and fight for their lives. It's you know, guys who, half the guys think it's just BS, and some guys take it too serious. You get one hit that somebody thinks is unfair, and blah, 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 blah. It always happens. But I even have to admit, as much as I enjoyed watching the highlights, and as much as I enjoyed Daniel Jones getting in the mix and all these, and you know, all the different things, it was way too many. You couldn't even practice. They had to cancel the damn thing early. You got to be able to control your teams a little bit more, and it's pointless to have all of these scuffles. So they got fined $200,000 each team. Good for the NFL. I mean, they have other things they should be focused on, and other than that, but I don't disagree that maybe 200's a steep number. I don't know, for an NFL team, probably not. But yeah, but I definitely think something was in order to try and curtail all this fighting in camp. And that's probably a saw. You probably don't like hockey, fighting in hockey either. No, I don't. How do you like that? I don't like fighting in hockey. I think it's pretty overall stupid. I think there's a couple of situations where it makes sense, but overall, no. That they just blow the whistle, stop, and allow two guys to have a boxing match on skates in the middle of the ice. No, I think it's dumb. How do you like that? How do you like that? But as these two teams prepare for the game tonight, hopefully they don't have to have any of those fights. I guess the main question is on two fronts with the New York Giants. One, should Daniel Jones play in this game? And to me, it's a clear-cut answer for this one. I've been thinking about it a lot. No, I don't think Daniel Jones should play in this game. He's coming off. I know he has gotten back faster from this injury than I think any of us expected. Right, I mean, I thought he'd be ready for week one. I thought that they were talking about that. That's like a month or two or three in the making that they fully expected him to be ready. He was doing things. I don't know if I expected him to just jump into camp with zero limitations and take every single first team snap and to be this ready, this prepared to go immediately. I didn't expect. I thought he'd probably play week one. I didn't expect him to. I thought he'd be probably medically uncleared for the first preseason game, let alone whether or not he should play in it. I thought it would have been a foregone conclusion. He medically would not have been cleared for it. And the fact that he is, and the fact that it's a question, is a blessing. And I am, unfortunately, too afraid of this guy getting hurt to start him. I let him get under, let him play, in, especially two teams that have beaten each other up. And he was already involved in a fight. Like, I don't need that. One drive, is it a big deal? No. They just had a practice. They've been working on 11-on-11. And the other thing is, like, if I thought he needed to really get some chemistry with the guys, which clearly he does on some level, but again, he was 16 for 17 with neighbors against the Lions in those two practices. Some were 11-on-11, some were 7-on-7. But he threw the ball and targeted Malik Nabers 17 times. 16 receptions were made. That's crazy. That's crazy. So I don't feel like he needs to really go out there from the jump. Now, he's got to play some in preseason. I'm not saying don't play any. But rushing him into the first game, when you, I just don't feel the need for it. Let him get his feet wet. Let him continue to play in camp. You know, he's gotten plenty of work with neighbors. It seems to be doing fine. And I would not play Daniel Jones. I know he wants to play. I get it. I don't think they should play him. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going to scream to the high heavens if I see him out there for the opening drive. But it's not anything. They have. Two other games after this, I would be much more like, you want to play him next game, you want to play him the third game for a little bit just to get it. You know, I definitely think he needs to play a little bit, but I don't think he needs to play in this game, and I would probably keep him out. We'll see. With his injury history right now, I think they're doing fine. They had these two practices. He's getting involved in fights. He's playing much better than he was at the beginning of camp, Leave Daniel Jones alone. He doesn't have to play in this game. Plus, we really haven't seen, and I know this is where, you know, I'm going to give you my little bit of Daniel Jones negativity. Let Locke play a lot because he might have to play. Daniel Jones gets hurt and he hasn't seen a snap with the first team. Not a snap. Let Locke go out there and play the game. Because there's a very good chance we're going to see him this year. A very good chance. Not only because Daniel Jones could get hurt and they'd have to play him, but if they don't win early on and this season goes the wrong way, they're not going to play Daniel Jones in fear of him getting hurt. So one way or another, there is a very good chance, better than 50-50, that you are going to see Drew Locke sometime this year. So let him play. And then the other question about the New York Giants heading in is who are we looking at? And for me, it's not Neighbors, because Neighbors is somewhat of a given. While I do think that we've gone a little crazy, and you know, because of these great practices at camp, we're ready to already establish him as one of the best wide receivers in the sport without ever taking a snap. Like, that's a bit much to me. I do think he is a given. I do not worry. I don't need to see him. I don't need anything. Like, it'll be nice to see, just as a football fan, to get that nice new player who's expected to be this great, you know, franchise leading, offense leading player who's going to be the best wide receiver they've had in forever, certainly since Odell Beckham Jr., and possibly better than that. And, you know, he comes from LSU like Odell Beckham Jr., the wide receiver factory, and he's going to be great. I think most of that is a given. I expect his talent to ooze out through the television every time he's out there, but I don't need to see it because I know it. I'd say that's a lock. I want to see other people perform, and I want to see the people who are going to make it easy, because Keith was reading something, and I agree that, yes, he's uber-talented. But right now, the Giants have a completely unproven rest of the offensive team. Like, offensive line, while it has looked better and did well against the Lions in these practices for the most part, and had major additions, and the interior of the line should be a lot better. And obviously Andrew Thomas is one of the top left tackles in the sport. It's still, until I see an offensive line play well for the New York Giants, I'm going to see it as a major question mark. So you've got an unproven offensive line. You've lost Saquon Barkley, your most dynamic player at the running back position. Singletary's fine, but he's not Saquon Barkley, right? You've got two wide receivers in Hyatt and Wandale Robinson, who are young and on their second and third years respectively, but unproven and haven't been able to stay healthy in Wandale Robinson's case, haven't been able to do anything but try and, you know, hit home runs and be unable to, for the most part, from Hyatt. And if you're going to tell me that, you know, Slayton, like, who are we talking about offensive weapon-wise? So if you can go in and attack the New York Giants defensively, right? And until Daniel Jones proves his legs are as dynamic as they were prior to the knee injury, I think some teams are going to not worry about that and let him prove that that's the case. So you go into a game against the Giants and you're looking at a quarterback whose legs are damn near, you know, most, or if not more than half of his ability, and have been by far his most productive tool as an NFL player, and he's coming off a torn, blown up knee and a torn ACL, and you've got Neighbors and nobody else who has shown you any real scary ability in this league, they're going to say Neighbors can't beat us, much like Aaron Judge. They are going to walk Malik Neighbors all game long. They're going to double team him. They're going to try and make sure he doesn't beat them, like Garrett Wilson. Now, Garrett Wilson still had some good games, still had some good numbers, still put up 1,000 yards, but the offense really didn't score a lot of points. So I need to see the other offensive weapons start to really show promise. I want to see Wandale Robinson, to be honest with you, because I know what Hyatt is. I mean, I feel like I want to see Hyatt too, don't get me wrong. I want to see him be able to run more of the route tree. I want to see him get open in different spots. I want to see them attack and do different things with him, which should help then open up Neighbors. And he needs to be more than just the break the top off the defense kind of player. But Wandale Robinson, from what we've seen, I think can be a shifty little player who can be used a myriad of ways and be really productive in this league and be the type of player that is productive in this league to go along with the two speedsters, or, you know, the number one, the speedster, and then the guy underneath, which, to be honest with you, especially with this offensive line, that could be an element of the run game, getting Wandell Robinson involved in quick passes. So I want to see that. I want to see Hyatt. And I wouldn't mind seeing Theo Johnson out of Penn State, their fourth-round pick, a talented pass catcher, a guy who's big, a guy who's strong, a guy who can block, a guy who can run routes, a guy who's been productive in college. Because right now, I mean, with Bellinger at the tight end position, like, if you can get, if he can show you to be a weapon from the tight end position, which, let's be honest, they traded for Waller expecting to get that. They didn't. They got an injury-prone player with soft tissue issues and now who has retired. Evan Engram could have been that, has been that in Jacksonville the last couple of years, was never that for the Giants. Like, that could be a weapon, a red zone weapon, which is what we thought, again, what I thought we were expecting when they made the trade last year. They need someone who can catch passes in the red zone. They have been brutally bad in the red zone. Awful. They don't score points. They don't score touchdowns. So I'm looking for Theo Johnson. I'm looking for the other aspects of this offense that can make the talent we all see, we all know is there in Neighbors actually have an opportunity to shine. Because in camp, yeah, great. 16 of 17. I'm impressed with it as you are. We saw the catches. We saw the 50-50 balls. We saw him toe-tapping on the sidelines. We saw the back-shoulder throws going for touchdowns. We've seen the ability. We've seen it. We know it. It's only as good as Daniel Jones is, and it's only as good as the rest of his weapons are, because any team in the NFL can shut you down if you have nothing else to do. Like, it's very difficult. There are guys who can do it, and maybe Neighbors will be that guy. Is Daniel Jones the kind of guy that can help him get there? I don't know. And is the rest of this offense the kind of team that can help them get there? That's what we want to see. I don't have to see Daniel Jones. I want to see other wide receivers show themselves. I want to see this offensive line play well. And then, of course, you want to see the defensive backfield. You want to see Flott. You want to see Baker. You want to see these guys actually look like they can stop someone, because that's, without question, the biggest question mark on this team. And the biggest fear is that defensively, if Burns, if Thibodeau, if, you know, those two guys in particular don't get home enough, if the pass rush from, you know, Dexter Lawrence isn't there, you know he's going to stop the run. You know he's one of the best defensive tackles in the league, superstar. And he really became that when he started to add the pass rush element to his game a couple years ago. But if they don't get home, if they don't create pressure, how in the world are they going to stop anybody? So that's the biggest fear of this New York Giant team, bar none. There's other fears: Daniel Jones, the offense, running game, offensive line. Clearly, the linebacking core you feel somewhat good about. The defensive front, with the addition of Burns, you feel really good about. It's the defensive backfield. It's the offensive line. It's this passing attack. It's the run game. Those are all the elements you want to see. And for me, yes, Neighbors is going to be the biggest part of that, without question. But in preseason games, it's something I've taken for granted. I know he's going to be good. I need to see the other guys actually be a threat and show the rest of the NFL that you can't just focus all your attention on Neighbors, that Wandell Robinson can beat you, that Hyatt can beat you, that this passing attack with Daniel Jones, that his legs can beat you. Because otherwise, it can be very difficult to make a one-trick pony offense with Neighbors good enough to actually compete inside this division, inside the NFC. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll continue to talk a little football. We'll get to the Jets and the Hassan Reddick holdout and the situation going on there as they look to start a couple of practices against Washington leading into their Saturday preseason game against the Commanders. I don't think we'll see Aaron Rodgers in that one. And if you think I don't think Daniel Jones needs to play, you could take a guess how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. So we'll get to all that as well. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yes. And now, starting at power forward,
for St. Catharines of Siena. Number 35, Chris McGonagally. Yep, that's right. Those are the best. I'm not kidding. Like, I obviously I didn't take it as far as I know Keith did. He played college football. BT played college baseball. I didn't really play college sports. I played high school football. I was pretty good, all county. I brought in the awards, the plaque when I was with Cardin Roberts, and it sat in here for like 2 years. My athlete of the year award and everything. But honestly, the most fun I've ever had in my life playing sports was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old playing CYO basketball for the church and playing in those tournaments. Those tournaments were so fun. Like the football games, the high school football games, I don't know, 2,000 people would show up, 2,500 people would show up. It was nice. It was fun. It was awesome. You know, it was very cool. It was the biggest sporting event the school had was the high school football games by far. I always joke, like, our baseball team, we were lucky if Scott Hoseman's mom showed up. That was it. Like, nobody came to the baseball games. Nobody. Football games were the biggest thing. Basketball games, okay. Soccer games, okay. 1 year, the soccer team was really good. So that had to... But for the most part, football was the biggest thing. But nothing was like going into a gym and to go play one of these tournaments. And that song, other songs, you'd walk in, it smells like hot dogs and knishes. Like, there was just something about, like, the atmosphere of those tournaments. They were the best, the most fun I've ever had. A couple of my lifelong friends were on the team. Like, it was just, you'd warm up, the crowd was a buzz, the games were big. Every year you played the same tournaments. Like, St. Bonaventure was, like, our enemy. They were the team that we always played. That was the biggest tournament of the year was going to their tournament. And the biggest game we would play was... The biggest game of the year would be St. Bonaventure? I forget. I think it's St. Boniface. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's 30 years ago now, which is freaking mind-blowing. But the biggest game of the year was when they came to us, but the biggest tournament of the year was when we would go. We wanted to win their tournament. That was like... And I remember I was in St. Boniface. I think it was St. Boniface now that I say it. I was in St. Boniface in the, like... area getting dressed with the team and everything when someone came in and said, did you guys see Jordan dropped 55 on the Knicks? The double nickel game. I was at St. Boniface getting ready for a basketball game when the newly returned Michael Jordan dropped 55 on the Knicks. And we hated him. But that music would play every single tournament. I just, you know, it was awesome. Those are the best times, man. And I'm looking forward to games on NBC. Because that'll take me back to Knicks, good again, playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, perhaps? NBC? And I have no idea. I haven't bothered to pay attention. I don't know if NBC is going to have playoff games or not, but telling you right, sign me up right now for an Eastern Conference Final on NBC, Knicks, Pacers. Oh. Right now? Oof. And I see that, speaking about television broadcast, Charles Barkley has unretired. And he has signed a deal returning with TNT, and he's going to do a whole bunch of stuff. And they're thinking of transitioning the show, right, from, what was it again? I'm losing my train of thought here. Inside the NBA to Inside Sports.
Well, it's great. Why do you need the live content?
Yeah.
Right? You just have a talk show, and they could do it nightly all year long.
Yeah.
Why not?
No doubt. No doubt. I think that would be awesome. I would love, you know, the show is phenomenal. I guess they got to still figure that out. It's amazing, that whole thing. Like, the NBA just said, nah, I know you have the right to match, but nah. And the other, and then other league stuff, the NFL, I haven't talked about this either. I remember talking about it, the case for the NFL Sunday Ticket and all of the I think it was what $4 billion that they were ordered to pay to both residential and commercial places for overpriced gouging. The NFL Sunday Ticket went to an appeals court, and the judge threw out the settlement.
Well, Boomer said on Friday that they could still appeal it, it could get appealed again.
It can get appealed again, but as of right now, that settlement, the $4 billion, is no longer owed.
Correct.
As we sit today. Yeah, amazing. I had people calling going, I bought the Sunday ticket. How do I sign up for it? How did I join this class action thing? I don't know. But when you find out, let me know.
You'll get a letter in the mail like every other fake class action.
Yeah, I know. Exactly right. I know. I saw one going around like, you know how they, it's like one of those, maybe I'm exposing myself here. But on Instagram, they have like a bunch of people who do side hustles, right? They give you all these examples of side hustles, things you could do to make money. It's like, you go to this website and you do this and they pay you per word. And the best part is you just go to AI and type in the words and they type it up for you. You know, all the different ways to make a quick buck on all these side hustles. I saw a guy talking about joining class action suits. And he's like, there's all these class action suits out there you can just join. He's like, there's one from whatever chicken company. Have you bought chicken in the last 20 years? Sign up.
Well, the DPHR law firm has one from Dr. Darius Padu.
Yeah, that's true. Have you made chicken in the last 15 years? Sign up! Oh, my God.
I'm not going to say it.
Well, you started.
Well, I got a letter for one of like the sports companies. I don't know what they did wrong. I think it was probably like they stole your information on their website or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if it's true or not. I got a letter in the mail.
Yeah, no, I think I know what you're talking about. I wasn't going to say it either. I got one. I think there was a breach in somebody's... I know AT&T had a major one not too long ago. I got that email as well. That one was much more public, though. I saw stories written about that. They got apparently all the numbers you have been in contact with for the last 6 months. None of the information, none of the like actual phone calls or text messages, but like that's what they said.
I know, but I hadn't even used this sports app in forever. I don't know how they have my
sports
current
app?
Address.
Yeah,
I was just like, what? This is random.
Random stuff. But that's the dream, right? Wait a minute. I've bought chicken in the last 18 months. You're telling me I can get... Yeah. They've been overcharging you for chicken. How much chicken do you buy a year over the last 3 years? Tell us. We'll get you back half your money.
You know, with all
I bought $10,000 worth of chicken last year.
With all these side hustles, though, on Instagram, like if any of them were actually real, no one would have real jobs, right?
That's
like,
true. I know. They're all. You click on them, and all the comments are like, "They want to. It's $500 for the course. You don't mention that." Blah, 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 blah. You know. It's all. Of course. They're all, you know, on some level fugazi, but there are people who make money doing stuff. It's crazy. Etsy. I saw one guy talking about just like his delivery was funny. He's like, "You got $10? Go to the store, buy a a 2x4." You cut it into, you know, half-inch blocks. You sand them down. You paint them. You put them together. You bundle them together. You got wood cup. You have wood coasters. You bundle them as four. You sell them as $20. You can make 180 coasters out of one block of wood. I'm like, okay, yes, that sounds great, right? A bundle of four would sell for $20 on Etsy. I gotta sell them. Like, you make it sound like the minute I make them, people are buying them like hotcakes. Like, how many people are in the market for, like, hand-wooden, shaved, sanded coasters? Like, it's going to take me 10 years to sell an entire 2x4 worth of coasters. Like, it's just, like, there's no way I could just... You make it sound like, oh, yeah, I make coasters. It takes me 2 days to do it, sanding and cutting and sanding and cutting. And then I go on eBay or I go on Etsy, and they buy them up in 2 days. It's going to take me forever. You know how long it's going to be sitting in my house?
Yeah, there's 9,000 Band-Aids in Alan Eddy's office still.
I know, exactly right. Exactly right. And that's, are you kidding me? That's the last thing I need. Chris, yes. Why are there 400 coasters in the garage? I don't know, honey, but we're going to sell them and make it rich. Yeah, sure we are. Clean this crap up. I stubbed my toe on it. Sorry. And we had a real life like Ray Barone kind of moment where my sons sometimes leave their clothes on the steps, like going up to the laundry room. The laundry room's upstairs, the bedroom's upstairs. So if they get changed in the morning down in the living room, and they'll just throw their pajamas or their dirty clothes on the steps if we're in a rush, and then, you know, I'm supposed to pick them up. But like I could tell, like I walked by the other day and I said to myself, I'm pretty sure like this is the third day these pajamas are there. Like, what's going on? Like, they don't usually stay this long. So somehow magically they just disappear. Like, I don't know what happens. I don't know exactly how it happens, but things go on the stairs and then they just disappear. And they get washed and folded and taken care of. And suddenly Like, there was like three straight days where this thing was hanging around. So I was like, honey, do you know what happened to the magic fairy who comes and takes all of our clothes and takes care of it and washes it and folds it for us? And she was like, you have walked past that for 3 days and not once did you think to pick it up. I'm like, yeah, but I live in a life of half asleep, half awake. You got to understand, I don't know. It just dawned on me that they were there. So she pulled the Ray Barone and left it there to see if I would do it. And I failed. And I failed miserably.
You noticed it was still there, which is like half the battle.
No, I know. It's not even like I picked it up. I said, hey, what's going on with this?
Yeah, the second half, you failed miserably.
Yeah. And I'm also not a fan of, we got a new dishwasher. I'm not a fan of the dishwasher either, because you got to like half wash your dishes before you put them in there.
Yeah, I never understood that.
Like, she's like, oh, you can't put it in that dirty. Like, it's like there's like a good, you can't clean them too good, otherwise the dishwasher won't recognize them as dirty. But you also can't have them just absolutely filthy, or it's not, the dishwasher is probably not good enough to clean it completely. Why don't we just wash the dishes then? And by we, you know what I mean? I know. The dishes I do. Laundry's not my thing. I'll do laundry if she tells me there's a pile here, put it in there, put it on normal, time dry. Like, that old stuff I can do. I don't have it in me to just, oh, look, I'll go do it. Like, I'm afraid that I'll put the wrong thing in the pile. Like if there's a pile on the floor, pick it up, put it in the washing machine, put There's the bottom line in the cap of the detergent. Fill it up to there. Put it in the washing machine. Then put the clothes in. Put it on normal wash. Press and hold the button. When that's done, take it out of the washing machine. Put it into the dryer. Don't forget to clean the dryer lint. Then put that on time dry, 55 minutes. Thank you very much. That I can do. I can handle all that. But to just go into the hamper and like make the pile of clothes that should be washed together and everything, nope, not doing it. Make me a pile. Tell me what to do. I will do it for you. But I'm not going to just, the day you think you're going to come home and suddenly, oh, by the way, I did all the laundry. No. You have to lay it out for me, and then I will do it for you. And folding, I'm terrible.
My first year living in a dorm, I used to bring my laundry home like once a month, like a giant duffel bag.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't clean my clothes for the month.
I know. It's true. I never went away to school. I never really. I never lived alone, oddly enough. My whole life.
I liked doing my own laundry after that, once I started doing it.
Yeah. No. Did not. She gets on me. I don't. And then I'll do things like, I'll tell you what. I'm going on Amazon right now. I'm buying my own hamper. It's my hamper, just for my clothes. I'm putting in the hamper. I bought a baseball hamper. I did. I bought it looked just like a baseball. It's a bag with the red stitching going around it. I'm going to buy a hamper. It's just for me. It's daddy's hamper. All of daddy's clothes go in the hamper, and I will wash my own clothes. That's it. I will do it. I bought the hamper and everything, and she just, you know, she laughed at me, and she used the hamper for something else. She didn't even, like, give me the opportunity. She knows I wouldn't do it and just took the hamper and used it in the laundry room for her own devices, and, like, I don't even know what happened to it.
By the way, that's one of those things I was talking in the newsroom with a bunch of guys about, what would be daily tasks that should be Olympic sports. Throwing your clothes into the hamper is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I can see that. If you had and you get thrown with different clothes items, you got to make it work. Yeah, I can see that. Trying to daily, taking, you know, how fast you could take the garbage out.
Yep, how many groceries you can hold at once in the grocery store.
I'm an Olympic gold medal. There's no doubt. I am the king.
Isn't this so much better than the actual Olympics?
How many bags can you hold? Like, because I will do anything.
Or the groceries in your
least
arms
favorite, right?
In the store without a cart.
No, that I don't bother with.
Ah, that's fun.
No, that's not as fun.
Usually they always.
I'm not doing that. That's a pain in the ass trying to figure all that out. No, I bag them and then I can carry. Like, I'm tremendous. My hands are very strong. I can carry a whole bunch of bags. That's my least favorite thing about the summer is my wife's obsession with watermelon, because it makes it very difficult. Makes it very difficult because she just wants the watermelon's kind of separate. I can't carry the watermelon and the bags.
Or the canned drinks if you have a bunch of cans. Or bottles,
Yeah, but those, I guess, glass and cans or eggs, that hampers it as well. But no, I do not. I do everything I can not to make two trips. I do everything I can. I'm not. It's an embarrassment if I have to make two trips. 888-808-1019. If you can relate to any of this, give me a call. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. What's the most amount of bags you've ever carried from the car inside? I bet you I got you beat. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll come right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagall here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I wish I was
looking into the mirror.
Flagpole Sedana, something like that?
Flagpole Sedana?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But it's from American Pie. And I saw Jason Biggs, the actor, is trying to get another one made.
Harvey Danger.
Flagpole Sedana, yeah.
Look, but no one ever does.
So he's trying to make another American Pie. They should. Why not? I would check it out. Bring back Stifler. I'm in. The third one, the wedding one, was actually pretty good. Stifler was great. That dance scene, the dance-off in American Pie 3 was very funny. 888-808-1019. We're kind of all over the place today, having a little bit of a fun Thursday morning. Barbara in Brooklyn. What's up, Barbara? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
I just want to thank you. I started a new job back in January. Working at JFK. It takes me an hour to get there. Yeah. And I listen to you every single day. I am so entertained. And when you're not here, it's a little annoying.
Oh, well,
just
I'm sorry. Thank you very much, though. Thank you very much.
But you guys crack me up, and I enjoy your show.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I know what an hour long, I know the commute, so good luck with all that.
Thanks. It's going great.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, well, congratulations on the new job. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good
one. All right, take care. You too, Barbara. Thank you. Yeah, we try and have a little fun, especially on nights like this where, you know, the Mets had a good, solid win. It's more of a thank God we didn't lose type win. If they would have lost, I'm sure I'd have a lot of Met fans calling me right now complaining and yelling. Football's about to start. The Yankees had a split with the Anaheim, Los Angeles, Angels of California. And, you know, I actually wanted to talk about this real quick because I said it when it happened. But I heard a caller into Keith, and then I heard Keith's response. And I understand his point, and he didn't really give necessarily an opinion, just the idea that the Yankees won't do it. But I'm sitting here with the banner of A-Rod Day, number 13, retired in this studio. And yes, Jazz Chisholm is now wearing number 13, the second Yankee to wear it since Alex Rodriguez. Joey Gallo, unfortunately, was given the number 13. And he took the shape of Jazz Chisholm yesterday. Jazz was striking out left and right. He's had a rough go of it here at Yankee Stadium after being, you know, honestly, the trade has already paid off just as how it helped them snap out of this damn thing. But he's struggling right now, hasn't hit that well in the pinstripes yet. But I'm sorry, I really find it hard to believe how many people don't think Alex Rodriguez's number should be retired. I get the Yankees won't do it, right? I don't know if it's just the suspension or the lawsuit where he filed against the team doctor or whatever the case may be. Even though he ended up working for them a little bit after his career ended, there's not a good relationship there, and I get why. All right, he did a lot of dumb things. Alex Rodriguez was there for 13 seasons, played 12 of them, suspended for one of them. He won two MVPs. He played a gold glove caliber third base, although he never won one with the Yankees. He hit 351 home runs, drove in 1,000 runs, had a career OPS of 900, and won a championship, and didn't just win one, was the absolute reason. You know that one championship they've had since 2000? If it weren't for Alex Rodriguez, we would be talking about going on the 24th year without a World Series championship for the New York Yankees. He was absolutely
the driving force. He should have been the ALCS MVP. CC Sabathia got it. I know Matsui deserved the World Series MVP. I can't argue that. But Alex Rodriguez, whether it was the game-tying home run in the ninth off Nathan against the Twins, whether it was the ton of home runs he hit against the Angels and how dominant he was in that series, or the home run off the camera against the Phillies in the World Series, just, I mean, he was so dominant and so clutch and came through in every big spot in that postseason. Now, he was terrible in the postseason every other time, right? And we all know he kissed himself in the mirror. He wore no shirt at Central Park. He was a bit of a phony. He knocked the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand. I get it. A lot of nonsense. But I'll say two things about Alex Rodriguez. Well, two things that you might not like. One, the biggest detriment and the number one thing when I think back on Derek Jeter's career, and there's not many things to be disappointed with. Love Derek Jeter. How could you not? I grew up a Yankee fan in the 1990s. He's my guy. Love Derek Jeter. The one thing when I think back on Derek Jeter's career, the one thing he didn't do that he should have as team captain was help Alex Rodriguez fit into the New York Yankees. And he did absolutely nothing to make that happen. In fact, the opposite. He made life more difficult for Alex. He was captain of the team, and he was unable to put aside his anger about an interview and a betrayal or whatever how he saw it. And I get it. I'm not them. I'm sure Alex Rodriguez deserved the anger. I know the interview. I know the comments. I know what happened. They were good friends, and that's how Jeter is. Once you go against him, that's it. Once he can't trust you, that's it. And I get all that. But for the betterment of the team, they had a world-class superstar, Hall of Fame, one of the handful of greatest, most talented players to ever play the game. And instead of helping him, even though he shouldn't have needed the help to feel part of the team, that's the kind of dude he was. And Derek Jeter did nothing to help him. And when I think back on Derek Jeter's career, of all the great things I love about him and all the great moments and clutch moments, and as great as he was, the one thing I think back on and go, man, the captain should have been better at that, and that was making Alex Rodriguez feel better, feel more part of the team. But name another player in Yankees history who hit, just for them, in 12 years, hit 350 home runs, drove in 1,000 RBIs, had a 900 OPS, won two MVPs and a world championship, and doesn't have his number retired. Reggie Jackson played 5 years with the New York Yankees, and his number is retired. Number 13 should not be on Jazz Chisholm's back. It should be retired. There's no doubt about it. It should have never been on Joey Gallo's. Now, that doesn't mean they can't. I think Jazz Chisholm certainly is going to be here next year and might be here for a long time. So now we're waiting. But they have given it to legitimate players. Like Joey Gallo, as much as he's a laughingstock now and a bit of a joke, you know, he came over. I remember the day he got traded, Evan called me on the way home to congratulate me. He was a two-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner, on pace for 45 home runs. I mean, yes, he's the epitome of the all-or-nothing player, the three true outcome player. And for the Yankees, it was no all and all nothing. I get that. And now his career is kind of just in shambles. But at the time, that was to give him that number was significant. And now Jazz Chisholm's a young, talented player they have high expectations for, who's under control, who's going to be here. And they're handing out 13. It's probably never going to happen, but it should. It really should. It's almost dumb. It's really stupid that it's not. The guy absolutely deserves to have his number retired. I know he cheated. I know he took steroids. Get in line. As far as just Yankees, get in line. Because I don't know to the extent of it, obviously. Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit did the same thing. Now, he didn't do everything else that went with it, and he's a champion, and I love Andy Pettit, and no one's complaining about that, but just saying. This is not the only place number 13 should be hanging a banner. It should be at Yankee Stadium, because Alex Rodriguez deserved it. Just a little thing I heard on the way in. Figured I'd tell you my thoughts on it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Continue to take your phone calls as we are 1 hour away from the warm-up show. I got you for one more hour. I know you've been sitting there listening. You're driving like Barbara. And you don't think you have to pick up the phone. Well, now's your chance. You got 1 hour. Otherwise, like Kaiser Soze, it's gone. 888-808-1019. And I'm not going to be back tomorrow. At least, I mean, I'll be back eventually. But I'm not back tomorrow. Today, I'm filling in for in the afternoon. I'll be with Tiki tomorrow, so I will not be doing the overnight tomorrow morning. So let's go. Now or never. It's now or never. I'm really just ramping here. I don't know why. I had the break ready and set 2 minutes ago. 888-808-1019. We'll be back.